Good morning to each and every one of you. What a joy to be together. What a joy to sing those beautiful songs that exalts our Creator, that praises our Creator, that praises our Re-Creator as we have been renewed in Christ. And as the book of Corinthians tells us, all things have become new. What a joy. What a wealth for those that believe in God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, three in one. This morning, we're gonna make a big dive. This morning, we're gonna make a big dive and we try to discover some beautiful fishes. Some of you might have deep sea diving. Some of you might have things along these lines. Go deep into the water, and when you go deep into the water, you will find some things, you will find some scenes, you will find some animals, you will find some things that are not seen above the water. And today we want to talk about something that is very important. Because when we look at the world of faith, when we look at the world of the Bible, when we look at the world of churches, we see an overall statement that says the book of Romans is not the same as the book of James. Some people will say when you look at the book of James, it speaks about that faith is not complete until it is connected with works. And some people will say when you look at the book of Romans says you are justified by faith. And then many people will say without works. And while the statement is true, we have to go a little deeper. We have to see some things in those two books. Let us consider. When you begin the book of Romans, and you look at the first six verses, look at what it says. Romans 1, verse 1 through 6. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then it says in verse 5, look at verse 5 precisely. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his sake. So the Apostle Paul in the very beginning of his book says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, when you look in the New Testament and you look at the word faith, sometimes you see it used as an objective system. Jude 3 says, the faith that was once delivered for all the saints. That basically means the system of faith in the new covenant was given to the saints. Sometimes you see faith being used as a very personal matter. Those who believe and are baptized, the personal conviction that God is. And sometimes you see it even used as a gift. When you look at the book of Galatians and chapter 5, and it differs on your translation, but when you look at Galatians chapter 5 and you look at the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit, it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. And the word that comes after, and that will probably differ on your translation, some translations have the word faith. Most modern translations have translated that as faithfulness. I don't know about you, but the first time that I ever read that in an English translation, and even in the older Dutch translations, geloof as a gift of the, as a fruit of the Spirit. Most of the time, it's a little bit confusing to understand. Even this morning, when we talked about Romans chapter 12, according to the gift of faith, and we all realize, that's a little bit puzzling. What exactly is meant? So we see that the word faith has different, or maybe not different, but slightly different meanings depending on the context. So here in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, it is obedience to the objective, complete system of faith. But what is Paul saying here? And that is the heart of what we are talking about this morning. That is why we are doing some deep diving for obedience to the faith. And the question then is Paul teaching a system of only faith or faith alone? Paul is not teaching that. From the very beginning, he taught there is a system of faith, and I preach and I teach to the obedience of it. Look at Romans 16, last chapter in the book of Romans, and the last three verses. 25 through 27. It says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. So again, when you look at the very last chapter of the book of Romans, he comes back to the very beginning where he started. According to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. And we ask the question, is there a difference between James and Romans? If I look at these things, then I can only conclude they both thought exactly the same. Obedience to the faith. Now, we need to say a few more things about that because the book of Romans has some things to say. But again, this is the book that some people will use to say it's about faith alone. And the question is this: is salvation by faith? What is the answer? The answer is yes, of course. But is the salvation by faith alone? And the answer is no. Or the answer might even be it depends on how you define the word faith. Because in essentiality, when we look at the book of Romans, it does teach us justification by faith. So that statement in and of itself is true. However, something has happened to that word faith. Something has happened to the word faith alone in the history of the church that took on a wrong angle. But more about that in a few minutes. Look at the middle of the book, or approximately the middle of the book of Romans. Galatians chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, of course, is the chapter that we all know as what baptism does. It is a burial. It is a resurrection. It is a dying of the old man. It is a resurrection of the new man. It is a putting to death. It is a crucifixion of the old man and the raising of the new man in Christ. But look at what it says in verse 17 and 18. But now, sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. I was in chapter 7. I need to be in chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed, obedience, from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, or what was delivered to you. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, if I read these verses and I am trying to understand what the writer is saying, what Paul is saying, what the Spirit is saying, but thanks, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, that talks about the old man, that talks about the man without Christ, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I can only make one conclusion. In the process of regeneration, obedience is involved. Because he says, you were the slaves of sin. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And in that process, the writer is using the word obedience. In other words, there is an obedience that we need to have to the gospel call. What is the obedience to the gospel call? Number one, you believe in him. You repent. You confess. You are baptized for the remission of sin to be added to the body. Now, of course, does that mean you earn your salvation? And of course, the answer is no. Nobody can earn his salvation. However, when you look at the process of regeneration, obedience is already involved in the process of regenerations. Regeneration, singular. Now, when we talk about these things, of course, it all goes back to who we call Martin Luther, or at least he was the greater instrument in bringing about some thoughts that were not always correct. When we look at the time of Luther, we see that the Catholic system had quite a bit of emphasis on works. And Martin Luther, when he looked at the book of James, when he looked at the book of Romans, when he looked at all of those things, he came to a conclusion, which of course we know as the three solas. Sola fide, sola gratia, and sola scriptura. Was he right? I would like to say in essentiality, he was right. Because again, the Bible does teach that we are saved by faith. There is only grace, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. There is only scripture. So was he right when he said, faith, grace, and scriptura? And of course, he was right. However, that whole system had taken on another angle when people, and even Luther, started to add that word alone. When you look at the preface that was written by Martin Luther on the book of James, he says this: "The epistle of James, though it has been rejected by the ancients, I commend it and hold it to be good, because it presents no human teaching at all, and because it deals strongly with the law of God. But I esteem this epistle not a writing by the apostle, and the reason for this is this. Among other things, he contradicts Saint Paul and all kinds of other scripture data by ascribing justification to works and saying that Abraham was made righteous by works when he became his son sacrificed, while Saint Paul teaches in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham became righteous through faith alone. He proves this there in Genesis 15, verse 6, before he sacrifices his son." Now, this is a very interesting quote. And the interesting aspect comes in when Luther says that Abraham became righteous through faith alone. Does the Bible use the word faith alone?
No.
Actually, as a matter of fact, it uses it twice. Once in the book of Mark, when Jesus calls to a man, "Believe only." And then there is a second verse, and of course that is the interesting one, where faith and alone is used in one verse in the book of James when it says a man is not saved by faith alone. And that is the key. That is the interesting element when it comes to this teaching. And I say this, brothers and sisters, because when we look at the religious world, how many conversations have you not been in that people will tell you it's about faith only? How many conversations have you not been in trying to see what the Bible really teaches on regeneration? When people say, "But look at all these passages in the book of John where it talks about faith." And it's true. They talk about faith, but not faith alone. That is the key. That is the important part. So when you look at the book of Romans, Romans is a book that speaks about the justification of faith. That is the emphasis in the book of Romans. The emphasis is over against not justification by law, but justification by faith. And what does that mean? It's simple. What the Apostle Paul was dwelling on to help his readers to understand: by a system of law, nobody can ever become perfect because nobody can do law perfectly. So God gave law to the patriarchs. God gave laws through the Israelites, through Moses. Could it save a man? And the answer is no. What does Paul say in Romans 7? "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" That is what Paul was talking about. On the basis of law, initial law given to every person, nobody can ever be justified. But by faith, but he doesn't talk about faith alone. We have already seen in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 6, the obedience. That is why Paul was given apostleship. Now, I say it differently. No one can ever be justified by the system of law, but everybody can be justified by the system of faith. Now, I add the word system here. But that is what I believe in essentiality, what the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans is talking about. And even in the book of Galatians. Nobody can be justified by law. But again, we need to differentiate about what law is in one passage and law is in another passage. And that is where sometimes it can become a little bit confusing. That is where contextual reading is so very important and so very crucial. So again, what does Paul talk about? By law, initial law that every person is given at the age of accountability, nobody can ever say, God, I did everything right, I never made a mistake, you have to allow me into heaven. God says, that system, that doesn't work. Because everybody falls short. But there is a system of faith that can save you. There is a system of grace and truth that can save you. So, combining some of those things together, when you look at the book of Romans and you look at the book of James, they both teach, as far as I can understand, and everybody is my friend to come to me and say, you know, what about this or what about that? But when I look at these two books, they both teach exactly the same. Romans and James do not talk about two different things. They emphasize two different things, but they don't talk about two different things. Because, of course, the book of James is a book that helps us to understand what happens at the moment that somebody claims to have faith apart from works? Then the faith needs to work. Otherwise, it is a dead faith. I'm going to close with the words of Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount. Consider what Jesus had to say. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The interesting thing here is in verse 21 when it says, Lord, Lord. In English, Lord, in Dutch, Here, might not always exactly cover the precise meaning of what this word is all about. The word Lord, the word Here in Dutch, means master over all. It means, as it says in Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In other words, the word Lord means you have all authority. That is what this word means. So, when Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, you are the greatest, you are the one who can set the rules, and they say it twice, Lord, Lord, emphasizing it, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who worketh lawlessness. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And you know how it ends. So I would even like to say this. When you look at Jesus, when you look at Paul, when you look at James, they all had the same message. And now you might say, why is this so important? For the person who is devoted to God, it might not be the most important lesson. For the one, in the words of Hans, who at times sits still, moves into his deeper inner being and says, Lord, How did I do this week? How did I do this month? It might not be the most important lesson, but we need to remember that whole concept of faith alone has crept into so many churches. It has even crept in those that call themselves believers, faithful believers in God. So again, for you that want to be faithful, that want to do what is right, this might not be the most important lesson, but it is an important lesson for those and for some people that have that component, that have that concept, oh, faith alone. And there are quite a few people that say that, ah, faith alone. When you use the word works, they are quick to use the word Pharisee. One last question. Why were the Pharisees condemned? They were not condemned for what they said. They were condemned for what they said and did not do. That is why they were condemned. Read Matthew chapter 23. Amen.